Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, brother.
How are you, Jess?
Hanging in there, man. I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing all right, yeah. You know, I'm used to adapting and hustling for survival. So in
yes,
that
you are.
In that sense, this isn't anything new to me. But obviously, the scale of this thing, the nature of it, the uncertainty of it all is obviously foreboding and unsettling, isn't it, in so many ways. Before we get to the crazy corona stuff, though, I want to backtrack a bit because I saw a really nice post from you the other day online, basically reflecting on the last year of your life before all this madness hit. And as somebody who knows you and has seen this physical and emotional and mental transformation in you, I wonder if you wouldn't mind just sharing with us the journey that you've been on over the last year of, you know, I guess, rediscovery and the health kick you've been on, because you seem to be in a really great place mentally, physically, all of this current stuff aside. It seems like life was pretty sweet up until then.
Yeah, man, it's a long, sordid story that I've only told half, if not even half of. But the short of it is, you know, going through a pretty crazy divorce, a total just a life-changing event for many reasons, but you know, in retrospect, it's the best thing that ever happened to me on many levels. One being my health, as you mentioned. I'm the healthiest I think I've ever been, being predominantly plant-based diet and just getting in shape. And I had a lot of health issues before. I was bloated, I was drinking way too much, stressed, depressed. And I'm none of those things now. I've cut way, way, way back on the boozing, and my diet's great. I've lost a total of 30 pounds since the transition, and I got energy. On stage, I feel better. My mental state of mind is better. And I fell in love with a woman who's just incredible, and she's helped turn my life around as well, just giving me the kind of love that I didn't know existed. So life is definitely really good for me right now as far as that's concerned, but it definitely took a little while to get there. And you know, the past year has been great, but prior to that, you know, some really shitty things had to happen. But I think that's par for the course in life. You know, you go through hard times, you struggle, you suffer, you endure it, and on the other side of it, thankfully for some of us, you know, it feels like it's worth it. It's all worth it.
Well, cliche is a cliche for a reason, right? Because they're true. And that age-old adage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger really does apply, I think, to life.
I certainly feel that way in my personal life, absolutely. I feel it's the most at peace I've been with myself, and it's a really good feeling. It's funny because sometimes it's unsettling because you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? I'm so used to like preparing for the, you know, the other shoe to drop, as they say, and it's just not happening, and it's a relief. That's probably a good word for it too. I feel relieved that I'm where I am now, so very grateful for that.
It's funny, man. I'm like deep down a Marc Maron rabbit hole at the moment. I'm listening to a lot of his podcasts. I'm reading the book transcription of his podcasts, and I've just been watching, you know, his specials on Netflix, including the new one. But the one prior to that, Thinky Pain, I think it was called, there's a bit where he's talking about trying meditation. And he says the minute that he finally cracked it and reached that plateau, he realized in that moment, this is pretty good, but it's not going to last. And it's like that mindset, isn't it, of you look around and you go, oh, I'm blissed out right now, but this can't go on. This is too good to be true, kind of thing. I think people like me and you are inbuilt that way, aren't we, to always question happiness in that sense.
Well, yeah, when you're sort of like your brain sort of is trained that way, where, you know, you get up and someone knocks you right down. And especially if it's the same person doing that, you know, you just lose your faith, you lose your trust in humanity. And, you know, for me, it was the person I trusted most that was, like, constantly knocking me down. So that was rough to get over. But, again, you know, I'm on the other side of it and much stronger and wiser for it. No regrets on that end.
Good times, man. Well, listen, we've got a lot to talk about, but right now I want to break for the first of your five tracks to soundtrack the end of the world. Obviously, the world is not going to end. We know that, but, you know, it feels kind of like it might at any point.
Or do we?
And I like your selections because they're, I guess, you know, a good representation of the cross-section of your musical personalities. The first one is a bit of ambient electronica from The Orb. The song is Plateau. Tell us about this track and then we'll go into it.
Yeah, so The Orb in general are probably my most frequent listening to music of all time, period, ever. Believe it or not, most people probably wouldn't believe that, but that duo changed everything for me sonically. When I heard their record UF Orb when I was a kid at a late night program, it was like a radio program at like 2 a.m. where they were playing, you know, ambient stuff, and I just happened to stumble upon it when I was really high, and that was it. It changed everything for me. This particular song, though, it's just one that I, you know, if you look at how many times I've listened to it, it's kind of part of my regular routine of relaxation when I just need to sort of switch off, and anytime I put it on, it just puts me in a really good mood and a really good place. I think these two, The Orb, are genius. They just create another world with their soundscapes. And some of it's danceable, some of it's not. Some of it is just odd little samples. But everything they've ever created until this day, to me, is just genius. They're masters of sound. And this is a really soothing, relaxing track that I felt like if I was getting ready for the end, I would want to be relaxed and accept it and be in a good place. And I could see myself listening to this as shit hits the fan.
Part of it is acceptance, isn't it, right? Well, if this is the way it's going down, buckle up and not enjoy the ride, but at least see it through.
And now, folks, for an old familiar favorite. We've had many requests for this. It's a simple little sentimental song, and I certainly hope all you sentimental folks out there are going to enjoy it. Ready, fellas? Let's go. Thank you.
We should talk about this. I'm sorry to bring it up, but I guess a lot of people listening will want to know the impact, really, of the pandemic on your livelihood as a touring musician. You were, am I right in thinking you were two dates? Was it two shows you'd done?
Two shows in, yep. It was already kicking off to be the most successful tour we've had in years.
Well, dude, the lineup alone, which people will know if they're a fan of Killswitch and know the history, obviously the bill was you guys at the top, August Burns Red below you, and then opening up the show was, of course, Howard's new band.
Light the Torch. Yep.
And that in and of itself is, as you say, it has all the ingredients for a historic tour in the making, and you probably felt that even in just those two initial shows, right? How were they?
We did, yeah. They were incredible. The energy was electric, and you know, your first couple of shows, you're still kind of warming up. So, you know, to us, it was that third show. It's usually third show is the charm.
Yeah.
And Howard coming out and doing a duet with me with Signal Fire, and we had a little surprise where he'd come out and do another song unannounced, and the vibe of it was just family. Everybody, even on day two, because sometimes it takes you a week or two to warm up to everybody. Everyone's sort of just getting in the mode of tour, and then you start socializing a lot more. You know, sort of the business aspect is over. You've laid out your plans. Your stage is working properly. And on day two, all of us were already starting to hang out and, like, chat with each other and just be in a really good place. And it just felt like, oh, this is why I love touring. You know, this is it right here, the vibe. And it was just the carpet pulled right out from underneath us. So it was hard for all of us. And then on the other side of it, you know, and no one wants to hear musicians complain about income, but it was a heavy hit for us. And then right after that, Iron Maiden got pulled out. So it's just two in a row. Just that would have been, you know, a nice paycheck to help pay my bills. And we haven't played a show in a while. So it definitely hurts us. But thankfully, you know, we've got the small amount of royalties, and there's foundations out there to help give money to struggling musicians out there. So there's a little help here and there. But I think for me, it's just been about, like, being really thankful for what I've got, knowing that, you know, God willing, this won't last too long, and just hunkering down and living simple, which I'm used to doing anyway.
Yeah, and obviously the impact goes beyond just the musicians to the crew and the whole, as you say, the family, the unit around the band, the people that make it happen behind the scenes. Their absolute bread and butter is live shows and tours, isn't it? And it looks like there's going
to
be no...
live check to check. They don't have a stash. They don't have royalties coming in. These guys will go home and, you know, I speak for our crew, is a couple we keep on and pay them a semi-salary to help out, you know. But for the most part, these guys are going home and they go work in their local clubs. Like, they're gigging nonstop. They're working people, you know, and we pay them decent, but, you know, not enough to sustain them for 6-7 months of no work.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's definitely much worse off for the crew. So we do what we can when the numbers are crunched. We always try to give bonuses and take care of, because they're our family, you know. But this time, it's just like it's still in shock. We're all trying to figure out how this is going to pan out. And it's very uncertain as far as that stuff's concerned. And my heart definitely goes out to all the working crew and sound, you know, technicians. That's a tough thing. You can't go home and work. Everything's shut down. It's brutal.
What's going on with the dates with your own headline shows, and then, of course, the Maiden ones as well? Have they been rescheduled? Have new dates been announced as of yet? Or is that going to be the meeting you're having after this call with me to decide all of that later today?
Funny you say that. Yes, the call I have right after you is to discuss everything. But I know where we... as soon as the headline tour was announced to be postponed, and I should be using the word postponed, not canceled, for that.
Yeah.
We've already been working on that for you know, I believe like September, October timeframe, and hopefully with the same lineup, but that's to be seen. But that's what we're working for, we're shooting for. As far as Maiden, that's a totally different beast, pun intended.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they operate on a different level, and we're even honored just to be even asked to do that, you know,
again,
a second time.
Yeah,
which is just really cool that they would even do that. So we don't know if we're going to be included in that. We're just hoping that is the case when it does get rescheduled. So that's to be seen. But our first priority right now is getting this headline tour back on the tracks when we can. So hopefully in the autumn that'll be happening again.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed for you, mate. The second song on your list is by the Mighty Wailers. Obviously, everybody who knows you knows, despite the fact that you're very much firmly in the metal world, reggae is your heart and soul. Rastaman Chant, why this one?
I just always thought that that's just the perfect And not in a morbid way, a funeral song. It feels like, you know, I love the image I get is, you know, going down New Orleans and seeing the parades they throw for people who are, you know, funeral processions or parades or celebrations. And that song to me was always like, if I die, I want that blasting. I want people like to sing along to it. It's such a beautiful song. It just says like, you know, death isn't the end. It's just my work here is done. I've got other work to do. I got to go fly away to home. And I love the message of that. It just, to me, it's such a great, beautiful song, and the way that Bob wrote about death, and it's just stuck with me ever since I was a young guy when I first heard it. I was like, that's a great funeral song. And some of my friends have thought it's odd, but I don't know. Just the way I view death is different. I don't see it necessarily as a sad, it's all over type of thing. I like to believe it's just a step towards another existence or another plane. And that song kind of like speaks to me in that way.
Talking about, you know, death and the afterlife there, I'm very much of that same opinion. Like, I had an accident, which we spoke about a few years back. And after I had that, that totally rewired me and made me think about, you know, life and death in a different way. And I don't really find myself getting anxious or stressed or, you know, I don't fear death, if I can be so bold as to say that. I mean, if it was a painful way to go, I probably would. But, you know, there's something for me about this is one existence and this is beautiful and amazing and make every day count. But I certainly, although I'm not a religious person, believe that there's so much more to this journey after this mortal existence. And in that sense, for me, like the idea of the end of the world, even if it was going to come, I would perhaps not embrace, that might be too strong a word, but I'd certainly accept and, you know, I look forward to the next step.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable, and I completely agree with everything you said there. As far as, you know, I have spent my life contemplating that type of stuff, being raised a, you know, son of a preacher man. But you know, as I've gotten older, I've let go of the sort of control of organized religion and really expanded my mind a lot further out and sort of left it open-ended, you know. I think that's only the more knowledge you gain, right, the more wisdom you gain, the less you realize you know. And I feel like for me, I enjoy and sort of revel in the idea of we don't know, nobody knows what's coming. And you could see that as a scary thing or you can see that as a beautiful thing. And I've decided to choose that it's a beautiful thing, regardless of my uncertainty of what actually happens. And, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. So either you go into it with fear in your heart and anxiety, which is not the greatest way to travel to another plane, or you sort of peacefully accept it. And I would like to think that that's how I would go as well.
Well, that's the only certain thing in life, right, is that we all die. That is the only sure bet. Hey, dude, let me ask you this. How happy are you right now that you moved away and out of the city? Because in times like this, I guess where you are, I mean, you can tell us about where you are in a minute, but I guess that's exactly the place you want to be, right, for isolation and quarantine.
Yeah, you couldn't be more accurate. You know, my girlfriend and I are sort of like, we've already talked about it. We've gone backpacking up in the woods here. And, you know, if the world goes to shit, we're just going to go up in the mountains and not come back down, man.
And I love
it. Steps from the mountains. I'm in the right on the edge of the Catskill Mountains up here in upstate New York, and it's already quiet up here. I moved up here for the peace and quiet and for a much more inexpensive way to live and more space. You know, I got a nice big backyard with a fire pit. I can hear the birds in the morning. There's no traffic, no sirens, none of that stuff. But now, since this thing has hit, it's even gotten quieter because there's no air traffic. People aren't out on their, you know, motorcycles and ATVs, and it's just dead quiet. It's creepily quiet, but yeah, I'd much, much rather be up here. You know, as I'm speaking and watching a huge flock of birds fly by my window.
Nice.
I'd much rather be up here than, you know, in quarantine in the city with, you know, the energy of people. You can sense, if you're a sensitive person, you can sense the energy of people. And I know there's a lot of anxiety and panic, and rightly so. But I've just done my best to really not feed into that side of my thinking. And when you're in a city, you're surrounded by it. You can't escape that. You can feel it. If you're living in an apartment complex with 200 people, you're sensing their energy regardless, you know. And I'm really happy to be, you know, be out here where at night I can go up and look into the Milky Way and listen to the wind. And when I wake up in the morning and open my window, I hear the birds chirping, and it's just a whole different state of mind up here. And again, I can make my great escape if I need to. If lockdown and martial law and all this bullshit happens, I'm going to get my weapons and my gear, and we're going to go live in the mountains and disappear. That's my plan.
Dude, it sounds like a foolproof plan. I mean, what's...
Yeah, like that movie, The Red Dawn. I'm going to be a Wolverine, man. A revolutionary Wolverine.
What's the vibe on the East Coast of the States right now? Obviously, you're out of the city, but I assume you're tuned into, you know, what's going on over there in terms of, like, the lockdown scenario, East Coast sort of situation. What's the vibe over there?
Yeah, it's you're getting two sides from different people. You know, there's people who are just angry and upset and anxiety filled, and they're complaining about the lockdown. And then you got people who are like, you know, just stay clean, ride it out, you know, keep under control, and things aren't so bad. Play board games with your kids. So, you know, you get both of it. You get the people who are panicking, angry, and upset. And you get the people who are sort of zen-like and spending more time with their kids and, you know, doing projects around the house they've been meaning to do. So I think it's all your state of mind. But, you know, I guess when you have a financial issue as well, that exacerbates the whole thing. And I know friends of mine who do have that. And it doesn't matter how calm you want to be about things, if you don't know how you're going to get food, that's a pretty scary prospect.
Yep.
So it's kind of a mixed bag. But I think for the most part, you know, especially New Yorkers are a very resilient breed of people. I think everyone just wants to get through this and get on the other side of it and party, which I'm assuming is probably going to happen in New York City once this shit blows over.
Oh, dude, can you imagine?
A bunch of parties.
It's going to be off the chain. Let's break for another track right now. You got some Viking metal in the mix. Love it. Why not? Amon Amarth, Valhalla awaits me. Again, very topical. Tell me about your relationship with this band, this type of music, and why this track is in the list.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Viking culture and being part Swedish and Scandinavian blood in me, and I've got also Scottish Highland in me, so it's the warrior class, the old clans and the Vikings. I've always been super fascinated by that and was reading about it in books prior to, you know, it becoming sort of pop culture and TV shows, whether it be Vikings or Game of Thrones. So I've always really been sort of into it, and to me, when I first heard Amon Amarth and then saw the visual of that band, I was like, to me, this is metal. Like, that's the kind of metal, like, when I was younger and I thought what metal could be, it's like the soundtrack to, like, an orc battle, you know, Lord of the Rings. And I just think that I adore that record. I think it's incredible. And that song particularly just makes me want to, like, rip my shirt off and grab my axe and challenge my enemy and just, like, stare at death and sort of, like, with that attitude of, like, bring it on, I'm ready for it, I'm ready to go where my ancestors are. It's just an ultimate battle cry. And I think if, you know, I were to go down fighting, that would be the soundtrack to it, with my axe in my hand. And I do have an axe, yes.
I was going to say, do you have an axe? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah, I got two.
You know what? At least it's springtime that this is happening in. I think it would be such a worst-case scenario for everybody, but particularly, you know, people who are, you know, on the streets for one, but, you know, just people who are perhaps broke and can't afford bills. Like, if it was winter time when this was happening right now, it'd be such a worst case scenario, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, for me, it's still, you know, it just snowed the other day. It's still fairly cold up here, but spring is on its way. But I'm watching my heat, you know, I got oil heat up here, and I'm watching my oil tank, like, please just last till it gets warm out here, please. But yeah, you're right. If it would have been the dead of winter, we would have been in a lot of trouble, especially people who don't have homes. That's brutal. Yeah, the whole situation is really sad if you think of it in that terms. But, you know, things could be worse. It could always be worse. And the weather changing and, you know, things starting to warm up is definitely a huge plus for that.
government taking care of people financially in your country? There's just been some measures introduced over here where people on salaries are going to be getting 80% of their wage, which is incredible. But what's going on stateside with that, with, you know, government support?
On my end, there's definitely like a couple organizations that are helping musicians pay their rent. At least I'm just sending my lease in today to an organization that will help. And, you know, once I get all the information, I'm going to put it up on my Instagram. But I urge people who are creative types and independent types, you know, artists and of the like, to definitely do some research, because there is stuff available here in the States. But it looks like, you know, not quite as much as generous as other countries, you know, because we're such a broke ass country. But there is aid, but it's not it's really not going to keep all the bills paid, but at the very least it'll help people get some food and supplies until this blows over. So it could be worse, but it definitely could be better in this country as well. You know, I think that speaks a lot to do with our economy and the chain of power for the past 50 years or so, just been in total decline. But that's a whole other issue of stuff that I should probably keep to myself, because I'm sure I could piss a lot of people off, in my opinion.
I guess as well, men like you and me aren't as informed and educated as we could be in the the complex nature of, you know, US and UK politics. I try and stay out of it, man. My politics are very immediate. My circle is, you know, my friends, my family. Act good, do good, be kind,
yeah,
and
man,
be responsible as much as I can. And then, you know, any damage I want to do unto myself at home.
Yeah, I feel like for me, there's only so much attention I can pay to half information and deception and propaganda. I'm just tired of it. So
yeah,
I
amen.
Pay attention a little bit, but I definitely don't rest my laurels or put any faith in the system to be able to save or extricate me from a situation. So I'm pretty much an independent thinker, and I'm not left, I'm not right. I call bullshit on the whole thing.
Amen. You and me are the same in that regard, mate. We're just in the middle scratching our heads.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
What's going on? Looking ahead, like when we come out of this, if and when, you know, what do you see changing on, you know, either a societal level or even just in our world as entertainers and people in the music industry? Like, what kind of positive changes do you see on the horizon as a result of this experience and this lockdown, and people, I guess, waking up to how privileged and lucky we are to get to go to gigs and to get to go to pubs and play in the park with groups of friends and all of that? I mean, you don't know what you got till it's gone, as Joni Mitchell said, and now it's gone for everyone. You would like to think that when it comes back, there'll be like a newfound vigor and appreciation. And you reckon?
Yeah, I do. I definitely think that there's going to be a widespread appreciation for things like you had stated, going out to music, just gathering in groups of people, that social contact, you know. Even for a hermit like me, I'm missing it. I'm missing the laughter, the way that you can interact with people. And it's a beautiful thing that all of us take for granted. And, you know, especially live music, the charge you get from that, whether it's performing it or taking it in, there's a certain magic to that, and I've always known that ever since I was a kid. That's why I was so drawn to it, and I've given my entire life to it. But yeah, I definitely think people have taken it for granted, because it's just, they're like, oh, this band's just going to come around again anyway. So I guarantee you, once shows start popping up again, they're going to be selling out. People are going to be scrambling for it.
Yeah, because gone with that mentality of like, oh, I'll get them on the next run kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that mentality hopefully will definitely be gone. You know, and being a realist, it's not going to last forever, but I feel like there's going to be a nice real wave of just people going out in droves doing things that they've been missing. And I think the restaurant industry is going to see a huge boom as well, pubs, restaurants. And that's another faction of people I feel terrible for, bartenders and waitstaff and cooks and chefs. That's tough. And they're, you know, in their own way, they're people who are sort of our therapy. You know, going out to eat is a huge therapy for me. I love that stuff, that sociable element of it. And I think there's going to be a new appreciation for that as well. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to sort of take stock of what you got and what you don't have when it's gone. And that's very important. And I think another thing that I know for me personally, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, I'm going to start paying real more attention to sort of putting a stash of money away and maybe putting a stash of things away just in case this shit happens again, because it caught me unprepared, for sure. I'm not going to lie. I'm sort of like kicking myself in the ass, like, why was I not more prepared for certain things? So I think preparedness is another element that I think is going to be trickling through society as well. Like, be a little more cautious and less sort of careless with your lifestyle.
Well, dude, this is literally that rainy day they've been telling us about our whole lives, isn't it? Save up for a rainy day. And I've always been somebody who lives like one or two paid gigs away from being broke. That's just how I roll.
Yeah, and then, that's kind of how I've been my whole life.
And then all my DJ gigs for March and April got cancelled. I'd booked my first ever solo DJ tour in all these cities across the UK.
Yeah.
I was like, that money's going to get me through up till summer. Then I've got festival season. It's all going to be great. It's fine. And then, you know, I mean, summer festival season is going to look very different this year as well. That's the other thing, is like some festivals have already postponed or pulled. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more. And so for me now, there's like, you know, there's no kind of like gig around the corner that's going to pull me out of this. So I'm like, fuck, man. That's why I'm doing these radio shows and just trying to hustle from home, because it's like there's no stash for me. There's no savings. So I hear you on that. I've got to start building up that pot for the, you know, for the second rainy day as and when that hits. Neurosis, buddy. Is it Eon or Aeon? How am I saying this song?
I guess it depends where you come from.
Okay.
Aeon. It does tomato, tomato, whatever.
Kind of what period of the band is this from? Because they've gone through different sort of shapes and styles over the years, haven't they?
Yeah, this is the, I think it's 92, 93. I could be wrong on the date, but the album is Enemy of the Sun. This is right when they just were starting to go into the netherworlds of psychedelia metal. Like the album that sort of like turned everything around for me personally, and for anyone who was paying attention to that band, you know, I think they're severely underrated band for what they've done for music and metal.
Well, you can see the huge influence on, like, you know, a Mastodon, for instance.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it runs through a lot of bands that probably don't even know they're influenced by it, because they're influenced by a band that was influenced by Neurosis. Neurosis are the OGs, and their entire catalog is incredible. But this song for me particularly just sounds like, and what I love about Neurosis, they have an element of, there's almost like an animalistic element. When I saw them live for the first time, it felt like I was watching these guys who were channeling wolves and bears and the spirit world, and they just really connected, especially at this time in their music. They were starting to really get into psychedelia and get into like paganism and turning their eyes towards nature and the darker elements of death, and very poetic stuff. The lyrics are incredible, and just the sheer sound of that song reminds me of someone standing at the edge of the world and sort of with their arms outstretched being like, what do you got? Bring it. I'm ready. I love the sound of the screams and the way that the music just goes in and out. I don't know. That whole record to me is incredible. And then the album that follows that up, Through Silver and Blood, is another masterpiece in my mind. And both of those albums, period, could be the soundtrack to the apocalypse or the end of the world. Thank you.
So listen, dude, the final thing I'd like to talk to you about is kind of wellness, well-being, staying sane, staying happy, staying healthy through this crazy time, because I think everybody is kind of looking around and thinking, how can I get through this? What have been so far, I know we're very early on, but what have been your coping mechanisms, and what would you suggest to anybody out there listening who might be struggling with the isolation and being cooped up? And
yeah, I'd say the first thing,
top tips to get through it.
Yeah, really fortunate that I have an amazing partner that I live with, my girlfriend. Her and I have been really sort of helping each other, so that helps first, is like appreciating the person that you're quarantined with and really developing that relationship, which not everyone has that. So if you're alone, that's even harder. So my advice, and again, living up in the country, it's a little different here because we have space, but exercise is so important, man. I've been getting out and just doing hikes and riding my bike and just, putzing around in my backyard, doing yard work, getting the blood going, and like really, trying to break a sweat at least every other day or so has helped me a lot. So I'd say that's number one, getting the blood going, getting moving, getting exercise. Second is, really taking my time and cooking and making food. I find it very therapeutic, and eating healthy. I've been doing a lot of things with Ayurvedic spices, Indian spices, garlics, gingers, those types of things really help with your overall wellness and also your state of mind as well. And cutting back on the boozing and all that stuff, like that stuff is gonna eventually just depress you, so you got to be really careful with that. I'll have like a drink after dinner or one with dinner, but people who are big time drinkers, definitely slow down on that stuff, because it's not going to help. It's going to depress you. So I think it's just doing stuff you like. And I've been binging on Star Wars. I started from the first one. And
are you on the Disney Plus tip, are you?
Yeah.
That certainly arrived at the right time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I broke down because I saw they had Simpsons and Star Wars. I was like, all right, I got to do this crap. So that's been helping. And laughter. Laughter is huge. Huge, huge, huge as well. Like, try to find funny things to watch, or just, be creative as well. I've been writing a bunch of electronic music.
I was going to ask you if you've been sort of writing or doing anything.
I have a project we've sort of been working on here and there. We have one song up online, but she's got me into a lot of electronic music and some of the early dubstep, which I kind of missed out on. And I've been toying with industrial dubstep metal-ish kind of stuff. So I've been toying with things. Yeah, so that's just being creative as well is huge. But I think it's just about knowing yourself. And you know what? In these times, a mixed blessing in disguise is you have time now to sort of self-reflect. You have time now to maybe sort of face those demons you've been running from. Those people who go out to the pubs and drink every night to forget their worries. It's a time now to reflect and hopefully heal. As hard as that is, I think that's super important for some people. Maybe start looking in the mirror a little deeper and start hashing through some of that baggage you've been carrying around.
Dude, what a pleasure. Right now, I think, I needed this chat myself. So thanks for taking the time out, dude.
Yeah, same, brother, same. Always a pleasure, man. Always a fucking pleasure.
And the last song that we're going to hear, I've got to make sure I get the right one, because there's so many versions and, variations, but Beethoven, Ludwig van,
yes.
Symphony number 6 in F major. There's a specific version of this, which you've sent me the link to. I'll make sure I get the right one. Why this song in particular? Obviously his catalog is insane. Is this the one that just ticks the right emotional box?
Yes. Yes. And it's on a very positive sort of note. To me, when I hear this song, it reminds me of, I sort of picture in my head, if you will, and this is silly, but this comes from my childhood. So, I had a really odd, overprotected childhood where I could only listen to certain types of music. And this particular song, when I would hear it, would remind me of running through fields, or just sort of like spring being sprung, that first moment, that smell you get when the flowers start to bloom. And this, to me, is the soundtrack of life. It just sounds like a rebirth. It sounds like, the inner child in you wants to go run out and play hide-and-go-seek with your friends. It just got this innocence and this beauty to it that I can't really put my thumb on what it is. But the way he wrote this song, from the way it starts to the way that it builds up and bursts into this huge sound. It could almost even be a metal song in a way, the way it's written. It just feels like it builds into this huge explosion and calms down and has like a great breakdown, if you will. It's probably one of my favorite pieces of music of all time. And I love a lot of Beethoven and Bach and certain composers. But yeah, if I were to pick one song out of all of those things that just makes me feel a certain way, it's this song. And it's a positive feeling. It's not a sort of doom and gloom feeling. It's like a, you know, again, facing the impending quote-unquote doom that we all think death is or the end of the world is going to be, with sort of a more positive outlook of like, oh, this is just going to be a rebirth.
Thank you. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.